as I take advantage of the imposition of the English language. I told some of you where the third Webster's International was being researched for to be published. For the first time in the history of the English-speaking world, the authors and editors of Webster's Third International decided it is impossible to any longer publish an English dictionary that would define the meaning of words. Impossible. There is too much confusion in the English-speaking world. Not only variations or differences, but contradictions. For example, grace as a theological word for us Catholics means God provides us with an invitation, as a grace is, a divine invitation to cooperate with His will. A Protestant takes a Frenchman, John Calvin, grâce in French. Grâce is grâce. But Calvin never meant what meaning. Grace for Calvin, who is a genius behind Protestantism. Grace does not mean an invitation to the human will, inviting the human will to cooperate with the divine will. No. Grace is God's absolute will, giving those whom He wants to reach heaven the means of getting there. Does that make sense? Is there a difference? Is there a difference? As we see in Rome, Mamma Mia! That is why I would say, if as a result of these classes, you people will learn some Catholic vocabulary. Now, you know the vocables already. It's not making certain sounds with the lips. That's not language. We make certain kind of sounds. The Chinese make other kind of sounds. Provided they've agreed among themselves, when I make a certain kind of sound, that means God. They make a different kind of sound than we do. Like, for example, T-I, T. And we hear the word T, you know what you think of. If you're a golfer, you think of one thing. If you're an Englishman, you think of something else. You follow the logic. The meaning of the words depends on in the mind of the one who uses it. We Catholics should have very definite meanings behind every word that we pronounce. Otherwise, you know what happens. We can be talking to another person and we think we're being understood. They don't get what we're saying and we don't get what they're saying. Or we think they're saying what they're not really saying. Now the necessity, and that's the big one. How necessary is prayer? Absolutely necessary. What are the two basic reasons why prayer is necessary? Over the years in teaching the theology of prayer, I told my students the two basic reasons why we must pray is because God is God and we are we. So what then follows from God being God? God wants us to pray. And how does He want us to pray? In two basic ways. But then each basic way has two sub-basic ways. I'm near enough to Detroit to say that I've told some of you, for I was put into theology by my superiors, sent to Europe to get a doctorate in theology. I was happy at the engineering school at Detroit University. And you're not an engineer unless you count everything. And you better count everything. And down to the, and not just decimal, but sub-decimal point. And I was in chemistry. You better know the formula of, say, sulfuric acid. H2SO4. Well, having been under obedience, removed, shall I say, from science and put into theology, you know what I found? What a joy. Theology is science too. Unfortunately, a lot of people think it's poetry. The poor dears. They call themselves theologians. No, they are poets. Am I getting my point across? Fill all over the lot with words. You know, a poet. Oh, we even call it poetic license, don't we? Let me tell you, there's no theological license. You better mean what you say and know what you're saying. Theology is a very precise science. In fact, having finished my graduate studies in science, I can assure you, theology is a much more exact science than any natural science. Much more exact. It better be, because the foundations of theology are divine revelation. And when God speaks, when He said three persons, He meant three persons in the Trinity. And Christ tells us that He is both God and man, and the church teaches there are two natures. You better be very precise and exact on your understanding of nature and a person. You can play around, I know. You can play around even in mathematics. Did you know that? But you don't play around in theology if you are a Catholic. That's my apology for the numbers. First then, why must we pray? Because God wants us to pray. First, how? By adoring Him. Oh, the importance of knowing the meaning of words. Because behind the words are ideas. And behind the ideas, finally is God, who is truth. And whatever He revealed, He knows exactly what He wants us to believe. So what do you mean, adore God? Well, we adore God in here. I'll use blue this time. Not quite. Some of you may have heard this more than once, but for all of us, it's even worth repeating. There are two basic relationships that we have to God. One is the relationship of cause and effect. God is a cause, and we, mankind, we are the effect. We came from God, and not just when we were first conceived in our mother's womb. Listen, the moment we were conceived, as I've been telling people over the years, the following things all happened at the same time. Number one, the ovum was fertilized. Fertilization. Secondly, God created from nothing. Get it? From nothing. An immortal soul. Thirdly, God infused. That's the verb the church uses. It means poured in. We mean poured in like you pour water into a bucket. God infused that just created soul into the fertilized ovum, and the fertilization, the creation of the soul, and the infusion of that soul into the body, those three equals conception. Okay? Well, thanks, Lord. Could God have made us something else? Sure. As I've told some of you, when I was 1 month pinch-hitting for a chaplain at a monastery in Chicago, there was a black dog on the premise. He'd always, must have known my schedule, he'd retrieve about maybe 200 yards from the monastery. So the black dog would be at the door waiting for me. So I'd pat the dog, and then we'd walk together to the monastery. And when I patted that dog, I said a prayer, "Lord, thanks for not making me a puppy." He's without God, there would be no dogs in the world, right? Could God have made us? No. Male or female? No. Canines. But the same God who brought us, and remember, that soul was immediately created by God. That God had to continue exercising that almighty power right now. Unless God continued exercising that almighty power every moment of our existence, what would happen to us? We'd become what we were, became before we became what we are. And what's that? Nothing. And that's the prayer of adoration, but of submission. I want to put it on top, but I can't reach. So, on top. That prayer is, all of this is adoration. But that is submission. And let me tell you, the highest form of adoration is not with our lips, "My God, I adore you." Or not even with our knees. That's, by the way, why we bend the knees. That's an act of adoration. What is the most important submission? What does God maybe want us to bend in practically our wills? Does it not begin to make sense that provided the will is submissive to God, that's the primary meaning, of constant prayer. And nobody cheats here. And of course, nobody deceives God. He knows. All the bending knees, all the pious prayers, it's our will that He wants us to bend. And of course, then we express, we articulate the bending of our wills, whether verbally or bodily or in the different ways in which we can manifest what? That we are adoring the God except for whom we would be and together nothing. However, that is the first kind of prayer of adoration, of submission. That we not only came from God, we are going to God. In other words, what word shall I use? We are incomplete beings. We are unsatisfied beings. Is that a safe statement? And the longer you live, and I look at my audience to see anybody older than me, I feel safe. The longer you live, the more you realize nothing, and the word is nothing, and the created world can satisfy us. We have a hunger, a desire, of which then hunger for the in the body is only, you might say, an external sign of that deeper hunger. What am I mainly hungry for? God. That's when I taught for 5 years at Western Michigan. See, what direction is Kalamazoo? Is it in that direction? I was there for 5 years. After my 5 years, there's only one book I could publish. I could have written 10. The Hungry Generation, to over 2,000 students, all hungry, hungry for God. Remember a class that I had in Eastern Buddhism, mainly in Hinduism, at Western Michigan. They didn't call me in. He said, "Hey, Father, we thought we'd give you 35 students. Don't be surprised or shocked at the condition which they come to class in." Just what he told me. I say one or the other wore shoes, but even in midwinter, barefoot. And of course, we have struggling beers and all kinds of characters. And of course, I was in cleric, so I was kind of on display too. Yeah, we became friends in 1 week. They were looking for God. They wanted to. And some of them were deeply spiritual people. So, this then is adoration indeed, but the adoration of love. So, this is why we must pray. Because God wants us to submit our wills, and God wants us to love Him. And by the way, how do we show our love for God? By doing His will. And then, oh, Lord, why did you do it? Well, leave it to God. Talk about being inventive. The inventive genius of God. He tells us, we are to show our love for Him by loving the people that He puts into our lives. Lord, when I entered the Society of Jesus, I had no brothers or sisters. My father died when I was a year old. Mother never remarried. I had never seen so many characters in my life, like my fellow Jesuit novices. So this loving God, as you know, is not a monosyllable. It is very costly. In other words, and we begin to see what we mean by prayer. It is not just making strange sounds. It is not merely folding one's hands or pronouncing words. prayer is living what we believe. And of course, part of that living what we believe is also using words. But when we pray and see, we tell God that we love Him, do we have to tell Him, otherwise He wouldn't know? No. No. Secondly, why must we pray? And I'd like to finish this. You've got 5 minutes by my clock. Who's my timekeeper? How much time do I have? Oh, 10 minutes. Say it. Gee, thanks. You're a good timekeeper. Because God wants us to pray, first of all, the prayer of adoration. Why does He want us to pray? Because He wants us to thank Him. Gratitude. For benefits that He has given to us. And, my friends, this is very important. To thank God for the blessings He's given to others. Hear it. Especially thanking God for the blessings He's given to others that He may not have given to us. Am I making sense? How spontaneously we thank people. For example, we're going through a door, a swinging door, and somebody holds the door open, so then we're right behind the person, so we can walk in. And we thank the person. We ask for the butter, a table. Somebody gives us the butter. Thanks. All day, every moment of 24 hours, God is constantly giving us so many things. That's why St. Ignatius, my own father and God, the founder of the Society of Jesus, he told us twice a day for 15 minutes to make what we call the examen of conscience. And the first thing we're to do is not to examine what we've done wrong. The first thing we're to examine twice a day is what graces or blessings God has given me for which I should thank Him. And we'll say more before this course is over. All the blessings that God gives us, are they always pleasant? You mean that there are some blessings for God that are painful? I'm sure you wouldn't dare say that God ever sends us any painful grace. You mean there are painful graces too? When you go home, please don't tell. Oh, Jim, I never knew this. But I think I should tell you. You are the most painful grace of God. How oblivious we can be of God's goodness. Am I making sense? And not thanking Him. We go on. Why must we pray? Because we need God's help. In other words, as I said at the beginning, we need to pray because God is God and we are we. And a good definition of we is we are in constant need. Why then must we pray? Because we need help. Why do we need help? Well, because of what we have done wrong and what others have done wrong. We need to ask for his mercy. How spontaneously, for example, you've said something dumb. I've had husbands tell me, because when I give men's retreats, they're very open. I got up late and I chewed up a wife, which I shouldn't have done. I got to the office, I thought to myself, oh, you dope. So I picked up the telephone and I told her I was sorry. You wives, do you appreciate that? Do you? Well, God not only appreciates our telling him for ourselves and for others that we are sorry, but he makes it a condition. If we've sinned deeply for recovering his friendship. In other words, we never sin without losing the grace of God. And the adverb is never. And we lose as much grace as we have sinned. The more deeply we've sinned, the more grace we've lost. And that we've got to beg God for his mercy. And not only by vocalizing, but by showing that we are sorry, I'm anticipating there's so much we have to cover, and we've got only, I think, 10 classes to cover it. What is the most powerful way, the most effective prayer of mercy that we can pray to obtain from God mercy for our sins by being what? Being merciful to others who have been unkind and offensive to us. How much time do I have? Thank God for unkind people. Thank God for offensive people. Thank God for the crude, the stupid, the thoughtless, even the cruel. Why? Because they give us that blessed opportunity of praying for mercy. And remember, the most powerful prayer is not with our lips. The most powerful prayer is with our lives. By the mercy we show to those who have been, perhaps, merciless to us. And then, remember, again in the Lord's Prayer, we see that frightening statement, forgive us as we have forgiven others. Well, how can we forgive others and others other people offend us? And we don't have to in the morning look around or remind people. I need to be offended today so I can forgive somebody. Oh, people are so thoughtful. And being thoughtless by offending us. Am I still making sense? And of course, not only for ourselves, but also for others. Begging God's mercy. And then petition. For most people might say, gee, Father, you had about 3 minutes left. And you say, what is most of my praying is petition. Jeez. You mean there's more to prayer than just asking? I hope they're telling you something. Of course. We ask, we petition for ourselves and for others. What we need and what others need. Question. When we pray, Should we pray for what we want or for what we need? This is why, oh, how many people, Father, I've prayed, whatever they're praying for, maybe for years, I still haven't got it. Have you ever made the distinction between what you need and what you want? No, it may take time. Give God time. So, he first asked for light. Lord, let me know what I need. So then, when I pray, hear it, I will always get, hear it. This is a revealed adverb. We will always get what we pray for if what we pray for is what we need. And the same for others. Pray for what people need. I got a call last night from Virginia. Two young people planned to get married, deeply in love, in their late 20s. They were out ice skating together. While ice skating, he collapsed. Had a heart attack. By the time the doctors got to him, he was dead. The one who called me up to tell me that, very sad information, I said I would pray for the young man. His name is Joseph. It's our closing prayer be for him. But I told my informant who called me up, said, well, maybe. I couldn't find the place in Scripture. But there's a phrase somewhere in the Bible. God called him when he was young. So he might be protected from the corrupt world. In other words, God took him when he was young to protect him from the corruption of the world in which we are living. As the prayer of the church for the feast of St. Aloysius, one of my fellow Jesuits, died at the ripe old age of 24. How important it is to know that we should pray indeed for what we need. What our first prayer should be, Lord, let me know what I need.